We're looking at the Christian life. This is another character trait. So the lesson this morning is going to start with kindness, honesty, and thoughtfulness to our acquaintances. Introducing yourself, manners, things like that. That needs to be taught because it's not being taught anywhere else. There's a statement that is in our society now. You can tell somebody's manners by how they drive. If they don't care and they cut people off and they don't, you know, they don't use their blinker and they're inconsiderate and they drive thinking just of themselves, they say, police officers say this, you can tell what type of a person they are by how they drive. That's manners. Now let's take it one step further. Manners are learned at the dinner table. And as America stops eating together as a family, excuse me, please pass this. May I have some more, please? Could you pass? The manners and the talking, as America doesn't eat together, the manners and how people treat each other goes down also. Because manners are first expressed at the dinner table when people eat together. That's why it is important that people do that. As we watch our society become more egocentric and self-centered, why is it? I'm amazed at the aggressiveness of the drivers. And you say, oh, they've always been that way. Okay, I've been driving since I got my driver's license at age 16. And I remember my dad always, son, turn your blinker on, stuff like this. I'm watching the most aggressive. Okay, just yesterday, I was going down 235, and right before I got to the stoplight there at Mechanicsville Road and 235, right a little bit before I got to it, you can see everybody stopping. This car pulls right in front to stop. And I was, well, are you happy? You know, you did all that to come to a complete stop when everybody stopped. I know people talk about road rage, anger issues, and all that stuff, but I think the manners and how people treat as our society gets further away from God, you're watching the manners and people's kindness, and you're watching it go downhill. This morning, it's on acquaintances. One of the first ways to kick this off is look at Leviticus 19. Read verse 1. Ready? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I the Lord your God am holy. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. And as it goes on, if you aren't careful, I like what one preacher said, you're going to read Leviticus 19 and you're going to go, okay, this and this and this. However, look at verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but watch this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Now with that in mind, go to Matthew 22, verse number 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Verse 39, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So where people get tied up with the ordinances and the laws and the thou shalt nots, if you're reading Leviticus 19, if you aren't careful, by the time you get down to verse 18, you're going to miss the second greatest commandment in the Bible. Because Jesus said the first one is to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. That's why I don't understand. Take the greatest commandment, then I would think if Jesus said that's the first and greatest commandment, then the greatest sin would be not loving God. And the first commandment, none of us have attained to. Nobody here loves God with all of your being and all of your mind. We're learning to, but it's something you'll never master until you get to heaven. We're learning to love God. Now take the second commandment. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Because here's the concept. A brother is somebody that's saved. A neighbor, who's your neighbor? The Good Samaritan teaches us that, Luke 10. So who's your neighbor? Anybody that has a need, saved or lost. Your brother is somebody who God is their father and God is your father. But your neighbor is anybody that has a need that you can help. That's your neighbor. So the neighbor is basically the world. So love your neighbor as yourself. Basic concept. I shouldn't be upset just when I get mugged. It should upset me and I should be wanting to do something if somebody else gets mugged. It shouldn't just be if I'm inconvenienced. So if I love my neighbor as myself, then I would do for others what I would do for me. Who do you love like you love you? Maybe if you're married, your spouse. Maybe, but not all the time. I mean, the two are one, and they're supposed to. However, do you love them as much as you love you all the time? No. People you work with? Let's just go other family. Who do you love like you love you? The first and second commandment, being kind, manners, treating people right has a lot to do with loving your neighbor as yourself. It's not the golden rule, so don't call it the golden rule. Here's what God told us. You have such a love affair going on with yourself that you need to work constantly at stepping outside of it and loving others as much as you love yourself. And if you would want help in that situation, then make sure that you help somebody if they're in that situation. That's how we're supposed to think. See, Islam doesn't teach that. No, Buddhism doesn't teach that. Christianity, the Bible teaches that. That's why the societies that are affected by the Bible, God's Word, produce that. Not to perfection, but in America there's hospitals and orphanages and places of giving to people that are less fortunate. Why? Because we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. Using that thought, go to Romans 13:9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely what? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So remember that. He lists the commandments and he said, and if there's any other commandment, he said, you can sum it all up with love thy neighbor as thyself. That's Romans 13:9. Go to Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. God says this, if you loved your neighbor like you love you, then you wouldn't now go through the Ten Commandments. You wouldn't commit adultery with somebody else's spouse. You wouldn't kill somebody. You wouldn't steal from somebody. You wouldn't lie to somebody. You see what I mean? You could sum up all the thou shalts and thou shalt nots for society by just love people the way you love you. That's the sum total of the law, if we loved each other. I think the basis of treating people right and being kind to people is your love for them. And none of us naturally love anybody. We're naturally selfish. We're naturally self-centered. We're naturally egocentric. We focus on us. It's natural to sit in church and not shake hands with anybody.
I don't say nothing to nobody. Nobody says nothing to me.
For me to leave my comfort zone and go shake somebody else's hand, that's because it's done on purpose. Oh, you're a people person. You can say that if you want, but I have to work at leaving my bubble and getting involved with somebody else. Good morning, how are you? How are you doing? To be polite and kind starts with me loving them like I love me. Nobody likes a sales pitch, but everybody likes to be treated nicely. Everybody enjoys that. So for me to do that, if I'm going to be kind, honest, and thoughtful to people that I know, then I need to be friendly. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I just don't have any friends? That's because you're not friendly. You don't ever say hi to anybody. You don't greet anybody. You don't leave your bubble. If you want friends, then you have to be friendly. You know, I remember dealing with teenagers, you know, and youth activities, and, you know, you got the game going, and then there's always the girls that are over on the side. Well, why don't you play with us? No, I don't want to play. Well, then they do that game after game, and then after a while, I don't have any friends here. Well, it's because you're a ding-dong. You don't get involved with anybody. You don't let anybody. You don't allow yourself to enjoy, to be friendly. If I'm going to be honest and thoughtful to acquaintances, Proverbs 22:11. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. So somebody that says, I love pureness of heart, I work at what I am, there's things I don't do, I'm working at pureness of heart, okay, I'm a Christian. Then God says, for the grace of his lips, he will draw friends because of what he allows himself to talk about. What is grace? Grace is the ability to do the will of God, the desire. And God says, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Because of what he talks about, I want to be around him. Because when I leave his presence, I want to serve God too. They're encouraging. That's being gracious. You could say, well, is it encouraging? Yeah, but it's being encouraging in the things of the Lord. I've been around some people. They're nasty. They're critical. When you get done, you just want to spit. That's the best way to describe it. They're depressing. And they don't care how their words affect you. God says, when I'm trying to be kind and thoughtful to my acquaintances, I want to be gracious and I want to be careful what I talk about. Sometimes negative conversation can be encouraging. Let me give you an example. If I'm with Zach or Brother Eric or Brother Billy or anybody, and I know they don't like Hillary too, then I could make a negative statement and watch this. Because I know they think like I think, and it upsets them too, it's good to verbalize it. So I'm not saying you can't be negative. I'm saying analyzing what you're saying and saying, is this going to be a blessing to them? Is this going to be an encouragement to them? That is being gracious. Go to Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. If I handle myself correctly, and if I am filled with the Holy Spirit and loving like I should, then when you leave my presence, you shouldn't feel duller. You should feel sharper and more usable. As iron sharpens iron, you should feel ready to go, encouraged. That, to me, is graciousness. Iron sharpening iron. There's been some people I hang around. I enjoyed the conversation. I was the better for it. I felt sharpened when I left. Colossians 4:6. Go to Colossians 4:6. The basis for all of it is loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, loving other people like we love us. Like we love us. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. God says, as a Christian, one of the first things that needs to be in my speech is grace. What's grace? The desire and ability to do the will of God. I need to be gracious when I talk. I need to be careful about the words I say. Let's look at restrained now. Go to Proverbs 27:14. Proverbs 27:14. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. God says, when you're trying to treat people right and you love them, then you should be restrained or sensitive to what they need. For instance, when my wife wakes up in the morning, I don't do what my grandpa used to do, and he'd come into the room with all my cousins and I sleeping on the floor in the living room, and he'd go, my, what a beautiful morning, my, what a beautiful day, the sun is out bright and shining, and everything's going my way. And he did that to wake us up, so we knew that was his reveille call. I don't do that to my wife. I always say, good morning, sweetie. To be sensitive enough to say how I say what I say, I don't want it to be with a loud voice, unless they need a loud voice. When I go to the door and I'm soul winning, I don't greet everybody the same way. If they just lost a loved one, they don't need a, hello, I'm Pastor Nash from Gospelite Baptist Church. I'm trying to read what they need. Sometimes they need something that's soft-spoken. Sometimes they don't need me to really talk at all. Sometimes they'll just start talking and they need somebody to listen to. That is being restrained and sensitive to what other people need. I love the definition of soul winning. Soul winning is you teaching me what it takes to win you to the Lord. If you need me to be loud, I can be loud. If you need me to be moderate, I can be moderate. If you need me to just listen, I can listen. But I'm trying to figure out you so I can help you. You say, well, you're a pastor. You're supposed to do that. I think every Christian's supposed to do that. being sensitive to, well, if they don't need this, then I don't want to be an aggravation. I don't want to be somebody that they can't wait leaves the room. You know what I mean? When I get there.
Oh, him again.
Go to Ephesians 4:32. There's a lot in the Bible about treating people right, treating each other right, treating other Christians right. Somebody asked me last month, they were upset with somebody, and we turned to the verse, Matthew 5, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. There's a lot in the Bible about how to treat people, even your enemies. God put that verse in there for us. He didn't put it in there for the enemies. What's it do to your enemies when you treat them nicely? If they hate you and you treat them right, what's God say it does? It puts coals of fire on their head. You treating your enemies right and loving your enemies is so you don't self-destruct. That's in there for you, not them. Amen? It's so that you can keep on going when you're mistreated. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We're supposed to be tender-hearted and careful with each other. I like what one person said. If you will treat everybody like they're fine china ready to break, treat everybody like they need your velvet gloves, then you won't mistreat people. You won't mistreat people. Now, I've watched some people. Man, they're focused. I mean, they got to make this and do this, and they don't care who they step on, and I don't find that to be Christian at all. We sing the song, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's supposed to be our motto. It's something that we live by. Psalm 37:21. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. The wicked, Psalm 37, verse 21. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. I know people joke and they say, well, if somebody lends you something really nice, then maybe you just hope they won't ever ask for it back again. That's a selfish, wicked way to think. God says a righteous man or a Christian or someone who is handling themselves right seeks to give back what was lent to them. A wicked man borrows and doesn't give it back. That's the sign of a wicked person. That's not the trait of a Christian. Amen? Treating people right, respecting their property. Go to Luke 16. Luke 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Notice verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? There's a lot of lessons right there. Number one, how you handle your money. Verse 11 says, if you've not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, that's money, then who will commit to your trust true riches or things you can't buy? You can't buy a happy life. You can't buy the Holy Spirit's power on your life. You can't buy eternal things. So if you don't handle your money correctly, God says, I watch how you spend your money. Do you exercise self-control? Are you wasteful with it? How you handle your money determines whether you get true riches, things you can't buy. And then the next verse says, if you haven't been faithful in somebody else's things, here you can borrow my mower, you can borrow this or this, then who will give you things of your own? Go to Psalm 18. You could divide your whole Bible into two sections. How to treat God, how to love God, what does God expect of you, and how to love other people. There's a lot in the Bible about treating people right. Psalm 18, look at verse number 24. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. Notice verse 25. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou, or God, wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself purer. And notice the end of verse 26. And with the froward, or the perverse, thou wilt show thyself froward. Awesome verses. if you're kind to people, 25 and 26 say, when you're pure with other people and you're kind to other people, you will feel like God is loving to you and kind to you. Do you know why? Because we all think everybody's like us. But the end of verse 26 says, if you are perverse or froward with other people, then you'll think God is perverse with you. And God's not perverse, and God isn't like us. But what I'm trying to tell you is if you mistreat people and you step on people and you're not kind, you'll feel like God is that way to you. And it's because of how we think. Once again, praise God, everybody's not like us. We're so thankful everybody is not like me. All right? But you'll think God's like you. And when you mistreat people and you don't care about the words that you say, I promise you, people that mistreat other people, they don't pray because they don't feel like God likes them. God doesn't have a problem with them. God loves them. Okay? It's how they treat people. And there's other issues with that. There's a lot in the Bible about mistreating people. Now, I wanted to show you that to say, be careful how you treat people. Now let's go to the other side. You can't take this so far that you love everybody, including the devil. If you take this thought, I'm honest, kind, okay, then I'm just going to love everybody. There are people that you're not supposed to hang around. All right, watch this. Go to Psalm chapter 1. Go to Psalm chapter 1. You're in Psalm 18. Go to Psalm chapter 1. There are so many verses on this topic. I think loving our neighbor as ourselves, being kind to people, being loving to people, it's something all of us have to work at. Some are better at it than others. Some are. Some are smoother. I realize that. But it's something all of us have to work at. Now let's go the other way. Be careful. And I've heard people say this. I heard a pastor say one time, we don't allow any negative talk around here. This was at a college. We don't allow students to talk negatively about anything. Well, if you thought that, nothing? You mean there's nothing you're supposed to hate in the Christian life? You're not supposed to hate sin? You're not supposed to hate the devil? You're not supposed to fight your flesh? No, we don't allow any negative talk. Well, that's probably going too far. Because, no, you're not, I heard one person say this, well, what would ever happen if Satan got saved? Wow. That's La La Land type stuff, okay? That's goofy, all right? No, Satan is not going to get saved, all right? Satan can get saved. That's taking this too far. So notice Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The first person, so you got ungodly people, sinners, and scornful or critical people. Take the word ungodly for a second. It doesn't say, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked. It says ungodly. What's an ungodly person? An ungodly person is someone who doesn't want God in their life. They may pay their taxes on time. They may show up at work on time. They may be honest with their money. But they have no use for God. That is an ungodly person. God says, be careful not to walk side by side with somebody that has no use for God, that's ungodly. Somebody said, well, I don't hang around wicked people. It doesn't say wicked. We all know that. Okay, if they're dealing drugs and they're pedophiles and stuff like that, okay, okay, I get it. All right? Future Serial Killers of America Association. That's how they always do it. Well, I don't hang around wicked people. It doesn't say wicked. It says ungodly. People who don't want God in their schedule, in their life, in their home, in their job. And watch this. It may not be people that hate God. They just don't want God. They don't want any. That's an ungodly person. If you use that when you read your Bible, things fall into line there as far as don't walk with ungodly people, don't sit. Don't stand with sinners or sit in the seat of scornful. And it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Connect Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. God says, if you seek out people that... Now in the Bible, you got two types of wisdom, worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. If you seek people out that are biblically wise, I want to hang around them. I want them influencing me. God says, the warning is, if you hang around fools, what's a fool? A fool is somebody who knows what the Bible says but doesn't care. That's a fool. Now, a simple person is somebody that just doesn't know the Bible. Okay? But a fool is somebody that says, oh, I know what the Bible says. I don't care what the Bible says. If you spend time with them, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's a promise of God. You cannot hang around fools and it not hurt you. Taking the lesson this morning, yes, we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're supposed to love everybody as much as we love us. We're supposed to treat people kindly. But we're not supposed to take it so far that we don't draw any lines on people that we choose not to hang around, because God says that's a no-no. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Okay, you ready? If we got our value and our sense of worth from the Lord, then we wouldn't look for the support of other people. You're accepted in the Beloved when you got saved. You're very special to God. If you don't, I'll say it again, if you don't get your acceptance with the Lord, then you'll always be looking at it in people. Do you like me? Do you like me? Do you like me? Do you? Here's a wonderful thing for every Christian to learn to say. I don't need you. I'm not being mean. I want you happy, right? I want you successful. I want you to enjoy life, but I don't need you. I need the Lord. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that died for me. And together, we can love the Lord together, but I don't need your support. You understand? You say, why would you say that? I know Christians that are so insecure, they don't look for God's support. They're always looking for, they're living for the crowd. Do you like my clothes? Do you like my house? Do you like my car? Do you like my, and it just goes on and on. And the insecurity is so, they never get their security from God. What would a lesson like this teach you? I'm supposed to be nice to everybody because I'm commanded to be nice to everybody. Love thy neighbor as thyself. But what do you do when nobody likes you? It's been that way, okay? Jesus didn't own his own house. He didn't own a car. He only owned the clothes he had on his back. And when he died, all of those who said they were his friends except three forsook him. And he died naked on a cross. Now, he reigns forevermore and he's king forevermore. Amen? However, he didn't die in what the world says is a successful way. If I'm going to be like Jesus, I don't need everybody's support. So make sure your insecurity drives you to the Bible, not other people, to seek for their acceptance. Okay? Your self-worth and your importance and your acceptance comes from your Bible time, the time you spend with God, your prayer time, and your love for the Lord. That's where that comes from. It doesn't come from what the world says is your status.